Coming up on today's show...
There's two other interesting things about him that made me want to write a song about this fellow. One of them is the fact that he had this weird desire to be taxidermied.
Welcome to another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, featuring interviews with guests who are having success in entertainment, primarily music. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking to guests who are singers, songwriters, musicians, recording artists, and more from the worldwide music community. Get in touch with me by writing to podcast@nhte.net, or instead of email, you can DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. Joining me today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from New York City, my guest is a composer, bassist, and one of two singers in the experimental rock band Ecce Schnock. 2 weeks ago, the band released a 4-song live EP, which follows a 6-song EP they had put out in early February. Plus, on April 10th, they released a video that got over 166,000 views on YouTube in its first 7 weeks. This month, they will be touring the West Coast, 7 states, 11 shows, 15 days, with platinum-selling legends Spacehog and EMF. The band is working on a new full-length album and has amassed 2.6 million combined video views on their official YouTube channel. You've been hearing a song of theirs called Shadows Grow Fangs. Welcome to Now Hear This Entertainment, David Rausch.
Thank you so much, Bruce. It's great to be here.
My pleasure. Thank you for taking time out to talk with me today. Let's jump right in and have you tell the audience all about the Ecce Schnock song that was just playing called Shadows Grow Fangs.
Absolutely. So the song Shadows Grow Fangs, thematically, you might think of it like if somebody has an experience of extreme aloneness or loneliness or abandonment, in those shadows, we can imagine fangs around us. We can become very misanthropic, extremely emotionally, spiritually destitute, and we can resent the world and resent ourselves and resent others. And so this song is kind of a gentle warning against that sort of mistake. The shadows of abandonment or aloneness, becoming fans of misanthropy or self-loathing.
Kind of a warning as in beware, don't let yourself get to that place?
That's right. That's right.
Wow. Wow. So creative. That's so creative. We're off to a great start. I love that. I love that. What a unique concept that is. Bravo.
Thank you.
We certainly are going to have David Rausch and Ecce Schnock fans coming to this episode of Now Hear This Entertainment. And hello to all of you, by the way. Thank you ever so much for hitting play on this episode. And I do hope that you will check out other installments of the podcast. There have been lots and lots of great guests over my more than 11 years of doing this show every week. But David, over that time, I have been fortunate to get listeners from 166 countries around the world, which means there are people just being introduced to you and the band. So I have to ask, I'm sure you get it all the time, what does Ecce Schnock mean and where does that name come from?
Totally fair question. And yes, you're right. And it makes perfect sense. We have business cards so that the spelling is clear. It's kind of a curveball, but long story short, Ecce Schnock means, hey, look at this, in a combination of Latin and personal nonsense. The word ecce, E-C-C-E, in Latin is behold. So it's like, hey, check this out. And then Schnock is a word I came up with when I was 13 years old. I think after I heard a family friend using the word schnocker, the Yiddish word that means something like drunk, and schnock was a shorter word of that, and it came to mean whatever I wanted it to mean in many parts of speech. So you can say, hey, what's up? What the schnock is up? If you're mad at somebody, you could say, you know, somebody cuts you off on the highway, go schnock yourself. If you're really hungry, you're going to schnock the sandwich. Or you're going to eat the schnock. So it's a word like some other words other people have come up with that means whatever the speaker wants it to, depending on the situation. And it can have any number of senses or emotional valences, whatever. Yeah, so in a combination of Latin, ecce, and nonsense, schnock, ecce schnock means, hey, check this out.
Oh, what a fantastic start. We're getting some early look at the tremendous creativity you have, because I love the contrast there when you say something as formal and distinguished as Latin and a word like behold, and then the tomfoolery of let's go get schnockered. It's just such a contrast that it's brilliant because of how much thought you can put into it for something that, like you said, can be very kind of natural expression, almost jargon. But I wonder, did you have 100% say in the band, in that being the band name? And if not, did you get any pushback from band members who were not too keen? Like, okay, that's kind of funny, but I don't know that I want that to be our band name. If so, how did you handle that? But maybe you're going to say, I founded the band, I came up with the name, too bad.
Yeah, basically that is the answer. When I was 25 years old, I was leaving one band and thinking of starting a new one, and a very dear friend of mine named Eddie and I were talking about the new project, and he's like, what's the band name? And I said, I have no idea. And he knew that I was a fan of the writing of Friedrich Nietzsche, because both of us were philosophy majors in college, and Nietzsche's autobiography is called Ecce Homo, which in Latin means behold the man. And then another weird detail about that is Ecce Homo in study of Christian art is a shorthand for some scene in the life of Jesus. I don't know what moment in Jesus' life the so-called Ecce Homo scene is, but apparently that's what it is. And Nietzsche, interestingly and a little bit surprisingly, called his autobiography this kind of Christian term, even though he sometimes bragged about being so-called philosopher of the Antichrist. People think of him as anti-Christian. Other people think he's Christian in disguise. It doesn't really matter. But he's a fascinating writer and a hilarious, absurd, brilliant, tragic figure, and I loved his books then, and my friend Ed knew that, and he's like, what about Ecce Schnock? Wow. And he even like backed off the name a little bit, and I was like, nope, that's it. And you know, I think there's something with sticking with one's name, like it's a total jump to another genre, but Talib Kweli could have called himself something much more easy to remember, to spell, whatever, but he stuck with it, and he even writes, you know, a couple songs about his name that are kind of like ways to learn the name and remember the name. So using his example in that way, part of me just said, well, this is the name of the band, and I have to find some way to insist on it, and that has been my fate, our fate.
Nice. Wow. And I'm glad that you mentioned philosophy in there, because later on, we're going to talk about videos that the band has put out. But as I watched the newest one and listened to the lyrics, I picked up three P's in the music: psychology, philosophy, and politics. Since you are the composer, can you talk about the role of those three elements in the band's music?
Yeah, so I think, first of all, before I decided to become a musician full-time, I was going to be a psychotherapist, and that's partially because I studied, in addition to philosophy, psychology in college, and I also grew up with what I still believe was a very helpful therapist. And I think, in general, the field of psychology can really help us. You know, sometimes people stress it too much, and there's much more to life than just staring at your thoughts and feelings and thinking about them and talking about them. But there's something crucial about self-awareness in that way, and other awareness in the methods that the theorists and practitioners of that field have developed and have worked on. You know, only the maniacs running and ruining the world had any self-insight at all, maybe there would be less abject suffering in the world. And I think there's a way in which philosophy is just psychology, you know, projected out onto the world, or maybe that's like psychology is the philosophy of the soul or something along those lines. And then there's another part of this, which is that, as you probably heard when you listened to the music, and as fans of Ecce Schnock know, the music jumps around quite a bit in terms of genres, playfully and hopefully in a way that honors them, but doesn't feel the need to stick in one or another. And sometimes I've thought of it in the way that a therapist will see all kinds of people in a day's work, and, you know, they'll see, depending on where they work or what kind of therapy they're doing, they could see people of any age group, any demographic, any nationality, race, gender, so on. And so I think that sort of multiplicity of experience in psychology is mapped onto the multiplicity of experience in the ways that music can speak to people, and that people speak through music in the various genres. And I, to the best of my ability, try to learn as many tongues as I can, but as thoroughly and fruitfully and with as much honor as I can, too. And then to the last subject, politics. Sometimes I hear people say something like, oh, this band is a political band, this other band isn't a political band or artist, whatever it is. I think this is a kind of confused distinction, because I think every band is political. Every band, whether we intend it or not, comes to be in certain power relations. And if you are the most Dead Kennedys corporation, the Dation punk rock, like, clearly political band ever, or if you're, you know, Katy Perry, she just made a very drastically disastrous political statement with the flight to space. So even if you try to avoid politics altogether, it's the air we breathe. It's unfortunately, or fortunately, whatever. It's part of life. The negotiation of power to people's detriment, to people's well-being, to, you know, somewhere in between. So I sometimes try to take political themes on head on, and then others life is to some extent just a negotiation of power relations, giving, holding, sharing. So lyrics, naturally, whether we like it or not, have some politics.
Right on. Wow, fascinating. Okay, let's insert a needle across the record or screeching tires sound effect here, folks, because the day this is being released, June 4th, is when I'm heading out on the road to go to Quincy, Illinois, to be a speaker at the author's retreat that the Indies United Publishing House is putting on. But the last couple weeks, you have heard me saying that I am working on something for July in terms of a stop out on the road where hopefully we can meet, yet all of a sudden, I'm dropping in a one-day stop in Orlando, Florida. That's right. 1 week from today, just announced last week, On Wednesday, June 11th, I am going to be at the Orlando Convention Center for Infocom, which is touted as the coolest pro AV gathering on the planet. If you are going to that or will be in the area, get in touch so we can meet. I would love to say an in-person thank you for listening to Now Hear This Entertainment. Yes, really. David, having heard what you described about what I refer to as the three P's in Ecce Schnock's music, what would you say is the goal of all of the original songs that the band puts out? Because even though we're just meeting for the first time, I have a strong sense you're not going to say, to entertain people and make money, obviously.
Well, I think, you know, everyone has a right to joy. So entertainment is certainly part of it. And then in addition to that, I think there's some amount of catharsis, which, you know, has a kind of entertainment or joy factor. But there's, you know, catharsis is also grief. It's also occasionally wrathfulness, even a little bit of despair. Mm. So I think one of the goals is to invite, again, the multiplicity of emotions and perspectives into musical and poetic space and share it with people and see how the funny things I've seen in my life land in the average listener's spirit and sometimes feel like I've achieved that. Sometimes somebody can give you a compliment and there can be a little bit of a polite thanks but no thanks. If they don't totally get it, or if they sometimes totally confuse what the music feels like it's supposed to do, you know they'll politely say thank you, but you kind of just try to forget it sometimes. But if you feel like you've really communicated with somebody and they've really heard you and they hear things in the lyrics and in the style that have helped them have catharsis, again, joy, grief, wrathfulness, whatever it is, that is a great moment of a kind of personal and interpersonal triumph. And another way to think about it, I've sometimes thought about it, is if the weirdos can feel normal and the normies can feel weird and they can all dance together, that is, I think, one of the best Ecce Schnock environments.
Wow. I love that. And thank you for such a great answer, such a great description, because there's nothing wrong with what I'm about to say, but thank you, because there's so many guests that come on this show that say, I just want people to feel something, you know, when they talk about the music that they're creating. And that there's nothing wrong with that. That's a fine answer, and I understand it. But I love the depth that you went to with your answer and the way that you broke it down and the picture that you painted for us of, like, it's kind of like someone going, yes, and, right? Like, I want to make people feel something. Yes, and.
Exactly.
And have them feel something. Yes, and. Come on, you know. So I didn't have to pull it out of you. It's a refreshing. After 590 episodes, it's a refreshing answer to a question. So thank you. But now let's kind of stay there, because regarding the style, you started to touch on this a little bit earlier. Regarding the style of Ecce Schnock's music, I have seen descriptions, I've seen labels such as alt rock, I've seen punk, I've seen art rock. Plus, I even saw it described as, quote, one part pop music, another part classical music, and a third part punk music, end quote. So tell me, David, why can't the music sit in one genre?
The way I have thought about genres, it reminds me of some sweet little poem that I read when I was probably 10 or 11. I think I was in camp somewhere. And it was a poem about, I think the phrase is, messing around in boats. And it was just a fun little 15-line thing that was just celebrating playing around. And I think, I imagine the poet was talking about canoes. And it was just about the game of jumping out of your canoe, capsizing another person's canoe or trying, you know, whatever, them jumping out of their boat and like pulling you away from the boat or whatever. And a playful jumping in and out of these boats into the cool water and goofing around with loved ones. And sometimes I think when I look at the genres of music, they're all cool, snazzy boats that I adore and I'm fascinated by and want to jump in and out of playfully instead of, you know, some people view them as spacesuits, that if for some reason you get out of your spacesuit, you're toast, your lungs collapse or you freeze, whatever the hell happens if you're so unlucky. But I look at them in a way of playful, changing spontaneity, that sort of quality.
Yeah, I like that analogy, because if you do think of that 11-year-old David, if you went outside down to the lake and there's three boats there and mom says, "Where are you going, David?" "Well, I'm going to play by the water." "Okay, just be careful." Well, you know, you want to be 11 years old and you want to jump from one boat to the next and have fun. And they're all boats and it's just you having some fun 11-year-old boy time on the lake. So where does it say, okay, just pick one and sit in it and have fun? Well, I mean, I might have fun for a little while, but I'm going to have a lot more fun for a longer time. It's kind of like saying, I walked in your closet and there's so many different pairs of shoes. Why do you have so many different pairs of shoes? Well, I mean, they all get me somewhere. They make my feet feel comfortable when I walk, but they all kind of have a different purpose. I should be able to have different pairs of shoes. So I love that description, because you're right. You know, I think the music industry has gotten to where they want to kind of paint an artist into a corner and say, no, hold on, you got to pick one. Like, you got to tell us, what category are we putting you in? We need to label your music. We need to tell people what genre you're in. Well, why do I have to just pick one? Why can't we tell people that it's a little bit of this and a little bit of that? Maybe even one more.
Yes, I think that's right. And you know, if an artist knows what they are, all power to them. You know, there's no reason that Wilco needs to make a doom metal album, or that Gogo Bordello needs to write a Chinese opera or something. Like, every artist who knows what they are, like Eugene Hughes, the Gogo Bordello singer and front guy, he says, has a phrase like, same old punk song, and he's bragging about it. This is the same old punk song, and for him it's super historic, ancient prayer. So if somebody knows that they are this or that genre, they know they're staying in that boat, or maybe one or two slightly different boats in their fleet or whatever, all power to them. I guess maybe the thing is, like, we're in the cold water with the breathable air. We're not in space. We can jump in and out of the boats if we want to.
Yeah.
If you want to, if it serves us.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, the whole reason that the word crossover, and I'm not talking about something between a sedan and an SUV, the whole reason that the word crossover exists in the music industry is for that reason. You know, there were people like Carrie Underwood who had made their name in country music and all of a sudden said, well, I really want to kind of start having this music lean more pop and just be more widely accepted to a bigger audience. And, you know, we've seen so many artists that have done that, that it does speak to your point of, you know, if I want to, I can kind of jump over here with it. Just because I started in one direction doesn't mean, oh, well, that's it. Rest of my career, I'm limited now. I have to create in the one that I started in. So while we're talking about Ecce Schnock music, back at the start of this episode, we heard the song Shadows Grow Fangs, which is actually the title track from the EP that I had mentioned in the intro, was released in early February. Plus, I also mentioned that y'all just put out a 4-song live EP 2 weeks ago. So talk about all that music that was released over essentially just a 3.5-month period.
Yes. So Shadows Grow Fangs is a 6-song EP we put out. That's a wonderful scampering through a playing around in boats of several genres that I love. There's a whole grain rock song, a psych hip hop track, a crazy techie song in 11/8, and then another techie math metal song, and then there's a folk song that's just me and my guitar about a dear friend of mine who chose to leave this earth. And so there's a full spectrum of emotions and reflections and genres that were jumping around, scampering around in like those boats I mentioned earlier. Then with regards to this live EP, we have the backroom session. So we made some, we hope, fun promotional content. We recorded 4 songs as a live performance to put on our YouTube and to share on Instagram and the like. And we think people really enjoyed those performances a lot. And we also realized that one song we wanted to dig up again called Fight Song and bring that back front and center as a song that people would know. So we basically took the audio from that live performance, and one of our guitarists, Chris, mixed it beautifully. We had it mastered. And then there's another song from our album Metamorphogons, and 2 songs from Shadows Grow Fangs. So it's a jumping around from some of the albums. So it's basically just a sense of what the band sounds like live. Can you guys really pull this off in a live setting? And hopefully it reads that way.
But there's a potential teaching moment here for anyone listening who is an up-and-coming performer. Help me through this, David. It sounded like you were saying, look, we were just there shooting video content. We weren't recording audio, pro audio, the way we would if we knew we were going to release this stuff as an EP. So if I'm correct on that, what, and I'm actually asking you technologically speaking, is it you took camera audio and someone mixed it and mastered it?
Oh, no, we got good audio. We wanted the videos to sound as great as possible.
Okay.
So we got professional. We did it at the Backroom Studios in Rockaway, New Jersey.
I see.
And they have a wonderful setup, pro audio all day.
Okay.
You know, engineering the right sounds, all that. So we just took the audio from those videos and said, hey, this works as a live performance.
Okay. Yeah, so you were capturing the audio because you wanted to lay that audio over the video. You wanted to have pro audio.
Correct.
To lay. Okay. Wow.
Yes.
Good stuff. I am joined today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from New York City by composer, bassist, and one of 2 singers in the experimental rock band Ecce Schnock, David Rausch. Visit their official website at eckeschnock.com. I will put a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. You just heard David talking about the 2 EPs they have already released in 2025, Shadows Grow Fangs and Backroom Sessions. Find their music on Spotify, Apple Music, and even Bandcamp. Engage with the band on social media, Facebook, X, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok, all of which there are links for at the top of their website. June 14th to 28th, they will be touring the West Coast, 7 states, 11 shows, 15 days, with platinum-selling legends Space Hog and EMF. Look for dates and locations for a show near you on eckeschnock.com. You have been hearing me on the last couple episodes thanking listeners who bought me coffees. If you don't know what that is, on my show website, nhte.net, look for the bright yellow Buy Me a Coffee button and tap or click on that. It is not a sponsor. There's no brand affiliated with it. It's just a fun way for you to send your support, your thanks, and for us to engage a bit with one another. It is also a great way to share with me what you are enjoying about this podcast. I do appreciate your looking at that. David, I have been referring to you as a composer, bassist, and singer, but we could also tack on one more title, which is record label owner. Tell the audience the name of the label, and not only Ecce Schnock being on it, but one of the band members, too, who has a solo project.
More than happy to. Thank you for acknowledging that. Our record label is called Records Man Records, and Ecce Schnock's music is released on the label, and we're just getting started supporting other acts. So the absolutely extraordinarily transcendently badass fellow singer in Eke Schnock, a woman named Bella Komodromos. She just kicks every ass possible at singing technically and also interpretively. She really gets stuff in a really impressive way. And, and you know, again, the technical standpoint and from a spiritual standpoint too. And no surprise, she's also a fantastic singer and composer of her own music. Really skilled pianist and really, really, really fascinating, lovely composer as well.
Wow.
Her music, she calls it Baroque pop, and she goes by Bella Litsa, B-E-L-L-A space L-I-T-S-A. And she's a big Lana Del Rey head, big Fiona Apple person. Any badass femme rocker, super diva that you can name, this is Bella's tradition, and we're very excited to produce and release her album Drasticism.
Nice. One other note about Records Man Records. Keith Lamar, tell the audience all about who he is, his story, both personally and musically.
Yes, Keith Lamar is a dear friend and a lovely man and a brilliant person who tragically and frightfully is on death row for a crime he did not commit in the state of Ohio. And I met Keith through a fellow New York City musician who was active in protests and live performances outside during the George Floyd protests. She met a keyboardist named Albert Marceau, who has made two albums with Keith Lamar. Albert is a keyboardist and a composer of really fantastic jazz. He's a small ensemble, I think 8 to 10 folks rotating crew there. But he learned of Keith because Keith is a published author. He has been in prison for 30 years. And he's on death row. And you can read about his cause and his the history of his cause, his case, at keithlamar.org, or you can read his book, Condemned. I could go into the specifics. It would take quite a while, but...
No, actually, I want to hear about... You mentioned the musician who you're starting to talk about. You said that he made two albums with Keith Lamar, so I'm confused now that you say that Keith has been in jail for 30 years. So how is that possible?
So, basically, Keith is a fantastic writer and orator, and they have arranged phone calls where Keith reads his personal writings, journal reflections over the phone, and Albert has his side of the phone up to a microphone, and it's captured. Keith is not a poetry writer, narrative, basically storytelling, autobiography, but his style is extremely poetic, extremely rich poetic style. And so the albums, which are Spotifyable, are basically Keith's voice talking about the world, his life, politics, from his cell over the phone to Albert's microphone. And Albert and he have developed a way of kind of communicating in the moment. Okay, I'm like, Albert knows his cue when Keith is finished speaking, and then Albert and his band play, you know, some instrumental for 3 to 5, 10 minutes with some extended period, and then Keith comes back in, and they basically just trade those two textures.
And that's all released on your label? That's all being put out by Records Man Records?
Not all of it, but we produced a short film. You can find it on YouTube, The Injustice of Justice, which is a 7-minute piece that very powerfully explains his life and cause in his own words. He's narrating it himself, and the animator Molly Crabapple made beautiful visuals for it.
Okay.
And we're in the process of releasing a second album with Albert. Those are the primary things we've contributed to Keith Lamar's cause and his work and life, with the hopes that he's released.
I had started into that by talking about records, Man Records. Eke Schnock is going to be releasing a full-length album, as I mentioned back in the intro. What are you at liberty to share regarding that project right now? Maybe a title, maybe a release date, perhaps number of songs, who's producing it, where is it being recorded? Any of those details that you're at liberty to disclose right now?
Absolutely. The album will be called Dandy Variances, and we're probably going to release it next March. We think sometime next spring is a good time to cross the T's, dot the I's and lowercase j's and get it all together. And probably 12 songs, maybe 10. We're going to figure out what the B-sides are. We have recently shot 4 music videos with the fantastic producer, director, DJ Bronner in Los Angeles. It was a really, really wonderful experience. And we're very excited about the album. That same aspect of the playing in boats, the jumping genres is there. There's indie rock music, there's math metal, there's somber, prayerful music. There's a reflection on tragedy of war, and there's lightheartedness. So again, a multiplicity of themes and emotions.
You mentioned it before when you were talking about Backroom Sessions, the live EP that y'all just released. You were mentioning that that was done at a studio you were filming for video content. Is that studio where you record all your music for release, your EPs, this upcoming album, and so on?
No, actually. For most of what I've recorded, I have a dear friend, basically a brother from another mother, a fellow named Jeff Lucci in Philadelphia, where I used to live, who's in the rock band Mo Lauda and the Humble. Most of his performance work is that. And he has his art music duo, Air is Human, which is a big project of his also. But he is a fantastic composer, keyboardist, guitarist, and producer. And so I've recorded mostly with him. And then Nicholas Varens mixed the EP Shadows Grow Fangs. John Aniello did the final mix for our album Metamorphogons, and Bryce Goggin did the final mix for Joke Oso. So, but in terms of tracking and the production process, primarily with my dear friend and engineer, Jeff Lucci in Philadelphia.
Okay. Well, certainly you and the band have to be tremendously excited about this upcoming West Coast tour. 7 states, 11 shows, 15 days with platinum-selling legends Space Hog and EMF. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we are incredibly excited and incredibly grateful to both of those titans from England. We have extreme gratitude to them and very excited to rock out with them. And it's basically the dream of our manager, Beth Narducci, knew that Space Hog and EMF were also on our, had the same booking agent we do, and she knew they were looking for a third act, and she knew we were ready to take something like this on, so she made a pitch to their people, and they took her up on it, and so we're immensely excited to play the 11 shows in a couple weeks, and we're got 30-minute set, and the jumping around of all the eras of the music with an emphasis on the Shadows Grow Fangs material.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And I promised earlier that we would talk about the band's music videos. And how could we not? What with y'all having 2.6 million combined video views on your official YouTube channel. David, share with us all about that element of Ecce Schnock.
Yeah, so I think about the visual element of the music with as much detail as I do the lyrics and the compositions. And so I've often ended up having very kind of clear ideas sometimes about what the imagery is, what the stories might be, and that sort of thing. And so we haven't quite Beyonce'd all of our music, but we have a lot of music videos. And the incredibly talented, another dear friend of mine, Milton Walker, Brooklyn-based videographer, editor, producer, has helped me with almost all of them. He's really, really excellent cinematographer. We have a really wonderful collaborative relationship. And so, yeah, I think the videos, I try to take on all of the weighty themes in the music: love, death, justice, injustice, absurdity, you know, lightheartedness, jokes, dreams, the whole mess of things in life and in the world. And so, and then again, we're excited to work with DJ Bronner, this Los Angeles-based producer for these four new ones. And I might try to cut another one for Dandy Variances before the release, but I got to get cracking on that. I got to make some decisions quick.
But I wonder, though, listening to you talk about the composition of the songs, and this is a question that I asked last week of C.L. Turner with regards to his band Arctic Wave. He's the sole songwriter for them, and we've heard all about your composition of the Ecce Schnock music. Are there ever times when the band members come to you and you're showing them a new song and they are suggesting some changes? What does that look like? Or is it, you know, I don't know, understand the question, Bruce. I'm the composer. I show them the songs and they perform them as is. I'm not putting it up for debate with them. I'm presenting them with the new material.
Well, it's more like that. It's sort of like the Frank Zappa setup, where I think different bands function in different ways, for better or for worse. Some people sort of know exactly what they want. And when I first started Ecce Schnock, I've had incredible experience with everybody that's played in the band, stayed pals after they've left. The first one struggled because I didn't really realize that the music is kind of a personal journal of mine. And a friend of mine helped me realize that, and he said, "Dude, you guys sound good here, but there are some basic problems with what you've got going on. You need to move to New York City, and you need to hire people to play the songs that you write, and you need to hire brilliant players and emoters and people who can collaborate really well to realize these compositions in a more, again, it's a little bit more along the lines of classical music or maybe orchestral jazz or something, you know, hire beautiful performers to execute the dreams, the journal entries, whatever it is. There's no devaluation of their...
Yeah, the fullness of the piece.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and they're all in their own bands too, and do other projects too, and I've really been incredibly lucky to have found the four musicians that I have to help realize these songs. They don't always make compositional suggestions, but they are very clear sometimes about arrangement choices, and certain things work really well in recording, but then when you turn recording into a five-piece performance, you have to make choices. And so I believe we have a really good collaborative ability to, you know, if they say, "I don't know about this voicing this chord or this octave? What if it were here? I think and I hope that I listen well, and I'm like, oh yeah, that makes very good sense.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I'll say, well, I see where you're going, but this really makes more sense here or there. So there is a kind of frontman-ish aspect in mm-hmm. that way.
Mm-hmm.
But my hope is that I'm never a schmuck in any of it, and that I can listen well and consider things deeply and with as little ego as possible.
Yeah, yeah, that it's a healthy dialogue. Yeah, I see that.
Right.
I see that. One more question, and then I'm going to have you set us up for the closing song, but I have to ask about your singing, your voice, how you take care of it, vocal health. I'm thinking of Cassandra Carson from Paralandra talking about that way back on episode 267 of this show, and I guess even to some extent, I don't remember if we talked about it or not, but someone like Mark Osegueda from Death Angel back on episode 308. Any tips, David? Any secrets? Any insights? Any best practices?
I would study with a woman named Anna Bridges, if you can. Mm. I'm sort of joking, but she was a fantastic vocal teacher that I had in Philadelphia a little more than a decade ago. I would say find a great teacher if you can. You know, certainly you want a teacher to be accomplished and scholarly or whatever, but I think the primary thing is a very powerful, supportive, positive relationship with them. One thing she taught me, that the voice, you can think of it like a beautiful lady. La voce is the Italian word. So each of us have this beautiful lady, la voce, that we have to honor and serve and care for. And then when she's ready to rock, she just brings it. And, you know, I could definitely do better than this. I should take some of this advice. But I think certain things about basic health definitely apply. The sleep stuff, the exercise stuff, weightlifting, those sorts of things. Mm. It's an instrument that comes from the body, so the best you can, that can help. And that's why I feel like a ridiculous hypocrite, because I don't do that. But I should start, because I've just turned 40 and I need to keep at helping la voce. So, yeah, I would say get a teacher that you feel a great connection with, if possible, and care for and respect and love the voice in as many ways as you can, and be kind to your spirit. I think kindness is key at the end of the day.
Wow. Yeah, I like that. I like that. We're going to close today with another Ecce Schnock song, one called Jeremy Utilitarian Sad Boy. David, before I let you go and we play that track, share with the audience first all about this one, if you would, please.
Absolutely. So the song is a wild math metal, math punk, whatever you want to call it, song about this weird British man named Jeremy Bentham, who lived in 17 to early 1800s, and he was one of the founders of the philosophical tradition known as utilitarianism, which is a moral and political philosophy that advocates for the highest good for the highest number of people, the least amount of suffering for the highest number of people. And so the government has a positive role in helping poor and working people live less wretched, more joyful, freer lives, which sounds sort of absurdly obvious, doesn't it? But here we are in the ridiculous oligarchy, plutocracy, disaster that we live in, and we could take this advice after all. And so Jeremy Bentham had this really interesting political philosophy that he advocated for very eloquently, and then some people argue that it becomes Marxism later. But there's two other interesting things about him that made me want to write a song about this fellow. One of them is the fact that he had this weird desire to be taxidermied, basically, when he died. He said, when I die, please seat my body as if I'm addressing my students, my cane in my right hand. I'll have, you know, my nice, wow, my nice clothes on and in my cute little hat.
Wow.
Let everybody muse at my dead body and not be afraid of death, because the body, after all, is just a stale instrument.
Mm.
And so it was a weird idea, curious, you know, kind of macabre, kind of funny, weirdly charming, darkly charming choice he made. But then there's this other very sad and absurd and symbolically frightening, kind of disastrous, tragic thing about him, which is that he also argued for the use of solitary confinement, which he thought was going to be the means by which people who had done wrong would be able to have private communion with God and then come back out of their tortured state into a non-violent, positive way of being, which sounds really nice. But then here we are again in this 21st century, and there are people like our dear friend Keith Lamar and others who should be free and should not be being tortured by the state. And it's a complete failure of the goal of the highest good for the highest number and the least amount of suffering for the most amount of people. So the song is a bitter question. What the hell was your deal, man? Why did you screw this up so bad? You had some good ideas, and man, did you fall off in this particular way.
Wow.
And what about your weird seated position taxidermy? What's all this? So it's a philosophical and psychological study of this weird British man, Jeremy Bentham, called Jeremy Utilitarian Sad Boy.
So cool. So cool. And a great way to finish off. We came full circle with the great creativity that we heard talked about for the opening song. And now, folks, you'll hear the one that David just talked about in just a minute. But David, first, let me say thank you so much for making time to be on Now Hear This Entertainment. Congratulations on the two releases already this year, and best of luck to you and the band with the West Coast shows later this month.
Thank you so much, Bruce. It is an incredible honor, and great big thank you to your listeners, Ek Schnock fans, new and old. Much gratitude to you all.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And folks, with that, I will wrap up another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment. My sincere thanks to singer, composer, and bass player David Rausch from the alt-rock band Ek Schnock. Again, do visit their official website at ekschnock.com. As I mentioned before, I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. Today you heard David talk about the two EPs they have already released in 2025, Shadows Grow Fangs and Backroom Sessions. Find their music on Spotify, Apple Music, and even Bandcamp. Last night, I followed the band on Facebook, X, Instagram, and TikTok, and I know David and the other members of Ek Schnock would appreciate you doing the same. There are links to all of those, plus their YouTube channel as well, at the top of their website. Be sure to let them know that you heard David's interview and the band's music on Now Hear This Entertainment. Remember, June 14th to the 28th, Ek Schnock will be touring the West Coast, 7 states, 11 shows, 15 days, with platinum-selling legends Space Hog and EMF. Look for dates and locations for a show near you on ekschnock.com. That will do it for episode 590. Thanks ever so much for listening. I'll send you out today with another song from Ek Schnock. This is the one that David just talked about. It's called Jeremy Utilitarian Sad Boy.
No fuzzy math boys care for not to tip the scale. Never fear death, boys, bodies but an instrument. Jeremy, Mr. Dumont, friend of the wretched man, four of us singing all the visible blessings. It was written straight.